사랑이 말이에 오랑이 누이에 투이 호네 오 파브 투어누 그에 타카토네 오테 타야에 아피네 이아 타토 티헤 마우리 오라. This is the Green Desk on 95 BFM.
Kia ora, yes it is, this week for Green Desk, Mitchell speaks to 350 Aotearoa spokesperson Erica Finney about the social campaign advocating for bank divestment. Since 2015, New Zealand banks have loaned the industry over $20 billion, and the majority of them have invested billions of dollars in the industry on top of that. So speaking about oil industries, Mitchell and Erica also discussed the fossil-free UOA movement, as Victoria and Otago universities have both divested from the fossil fuel industry. A rather silly question, but Mitchell kicks off by asking Erica why it's necessary that we call on our banks to divest from the fossil fuel industry.
So basically we're in the midst of a climate emergency where we're facing ecosystem collapse of an unprecedented intensity, and we need to move our energy systems immediately if we're going to avoid the worst projections of scientists around climate change. And we've made some progress in New Zealand in the last year, but the clock is ticking and we still have a lot of work to do to dismantle the social license of the fossil fuel industry. And this is the industry that's most responsible for causing the climate crisis. Banks in New Zealand are a direct link between everyday people and the fossil fuel industry. Four of the major banks operating in New Zealand have collectively loaned over $20 billion to fossil fuel projects since 2015. And we currently don't have any banks in New Zealand that have sufficient policies that guarantee that our savings are not being funneled into coal, oil and gas. So as customers, we don't have a guarantee that our savings aren't financing fossil fuels. Basically, our banks operating in Aotearoa need to make a statement and make a stand to say that they will ensure our money will not be funneling the climate crisis.
So with banks, like I know that TSB and Cooperative Bank and stuff say that they don't, so that's not necessarily a guarantee or anything like that.
Yeah, so three banks in New Zealand, Kiwi Bank, TSB and the Cooperative Bank, currently don't have business models where it makes sense for them to invest all into fossil fuels.
Okay.
But they haven't made any, other than TSB, they haven't made a public statement saying that they never will. That's what the fossil free movement is all about. It's not just about morally bankrupting the fossil fuel industry, it's about making a public stand and saying that we as a business or we as an institution will not be associated with this industry that's causing climate change.
Yeah.
And so TSB is the first and only bank so far in New Zealand who has ruled out investing in fossil fuels, but they haven't made the next step, which is to say that they won't lend to fossil fuels.
Okay.
And that's what it takes to be fossil free.
Do you know how much money is being invested rather than just loaned?
So investments-wise, since 2015, in the period 2015 to 2017, our four major banks, our Australian-owned banks, so that's ANZ, loaned $7.4 billion Australian dollars in that period to fossil fuels. Sorry, invested. ASB, which sits under the group of Commonwealth Bank Australia, and that operates as ASB, $7.2 billion. BNZ, which is National Australia Bank, $3.7 billion, and Westpac, $2.7 billion. So it's big money in terms of what it enables fossil fuel companies to do.
Just talking about institutions, do you want to talk a little bit about the University of Auckland? So I know 350's had quite a bit to do with fossil-free UOA, and I believe that started in 2015, is that right?
It was November 2014, so
November 2014.
University year-wise.
Yeah. Why was it necessary? Why was it necessary to start the fossil free UOA back then?
Yeah, so the movement started once a few students who had been to see Bill McKibben, who is one of the founders of 350 globally, had come to New Zealand and talked about this fossil fuel divestment movement. And with a bit of research, students looked into the University of Auckland's endowment fund and discovered that there is no ethical investment policy. So this means that its investments can be in anything, being fossil fuels, pornography, firearms, munitions, you name it. The bad industries, there's probably none in it.
How deeply involved is the uni with their investments in things like the fossil fuel industry?
Hard to get a set number. So the University of Auckland does not have direct investments in fossil fuels. Instead, it has indirect investments through its shares and stock markets. I mean, when you don't have an ethical investment policy, you're not excluding any of the bad things.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the endowment fund sits at about $150 million now, and fossil fuel shares in that are estimated to be between $2.24 and $3.36 million. They have in response to the Fossil Free campaign, placed 25% of their investments into a fossil free fund, but they haven't taken the full step. And that indicates that it is a viable option for them financially to be shifting out of fossil fuels, and they just aren't willing to currently make the moral statement which is required.
Yeah, yeah. And so when I've read things like Vic Uni and, you know, I think University of Otago, they've taken the, have they made this statement as well, or have they just reduced it back to nothing?
They've made the full divestment statement, yeah. So to divest it requires a public policy statement so that it, you don't then have a future fund manager that makes decisions that change that.
When I was reading these rankings last week, I'm perplexed by how University of Auckland has ranked number one in terms of, like, in the world of their climate change impact.
Yeah. So I will, a couple of things.
Yeah.
So to reiterate, the reasons that it matters for Otago and for Wellington to have made that public statement is because the divestment movement is about social license. We as individuals or students at these universities, if University of Auckland divested today, ExxonMobil or BP is not going to feel that financial impact. But when we say things like all of New Zealand's universities have divested from fossil fuels, that takes away its moral license. So it's totally about the moral as much as it is financial. And increasingly, the financial matters because there have been over $8 trillion worth of divestments globally. And then back to your question about the ranking. I had a wee look at this Sustainable Development Goals rankings, because it's something I know a little bit about, but was also surprised to see that ranking. And it looks like the things that got Auckland the highest ranking. So the Sustainability Development Goals, there are, I think I want to say 17 of them.
Yep.
And they each have a different focus. So there's things like public health, there's peace and justice. And the ones that Auckland ranked highest on that got its high ranking were gender equality, health and wellbeing, peace and justice, and making partnerships to reach the SDGs. And the climate action ranking, that was based on a number of things. It was universities' research on climate change. It was their use of energy, so the actual on-campus energy, and their preparations for dealing with the consequences of climate change. There was no way to account for the university's investments
right.
and how those fit in with the SDGs,
yep.
and therefore the action taken by the universities to divest was not reflected in this.
That explains it then. Okay, I've got it. So that's pretty misleading. To people that aren't going to look that much further.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you think that with, well, you've already sort of answered this question that I'm going to ask, but without these institutions like banks, universities, which we're talking like millions and billions, do you think it's possible for New Zealand, like countries like New Zealand, to reach the climate goals and things that they've signed up to, pretty much reach them without these institutions divesting?
So there's the nationally determined contributions, which is New Zealand's commitment to the Paris Agreement. And certainly those require a different approach, which is through central government policy and then its implementation throughout Aotearoa. But climate change is not just an issue that we can address in Aotearoa and expect to avoid the worst of its impacts, both here and in other countries who are more vulnerable to its effects. So the steps that we do take to address climate change and the move towards 100% clean energy future in New Zealand are vital, and we do need to move away from fossil fuels here. So we've recently seen some great progress with this, with the offshore oil and gas exploration. But if our banks and our institutions are continuing to invest in companies that are setting up new fossil fuel projects in Australia or Southeast Asia or in other countries, we're still directly contributing to the root cause of the problem, and we're profiting from it. So we need to set ambitious reduction targets within Aotearoa, but we also need to stop financing the industry that's contributing to climate change overseas.
So to get into this divesting, how do people get behind it to support 350 and, you know, get back and get on the phones, call their banks? How can they do that?
Great question. So there are a number of things. The best thing that you can do to take action on climate change, and I believe this wholeheartedly, is to not do it alone. So it's not just about doing stuff as an individual where you're riding your bike each day, which is awesome, but it's not creating long-term systemic change. So we know that social movements are the way to do this, and the type of change that we're required to stop climate change needs to be massive. So I'd really encourage people to join a local 350 group in their town and build your power by working with others. If you're wanting to be part of the bank's campaign directly, you can also ring your bank, ask them to commit to a policy that rules out both lending and investing in fossil fuels, and you can tell them that if they don't do it, that you're going to switch to whichever bank does it first. And we're certainly getting murmurs that there will be a fossil-free bank in 2019, so it's just a matter of time.
Awesome.
And the other thing I'd say is that if you're a student at Auckland University, to join the Fossil Free UOA group there, they're on Facebook, or you can find them through the 350 website. And it's an awesome way to make a group of friends at uni who also care about climate change, and to be part of something really awesome.
That's awesome. And just one more thing, talking about misleading facts and things like that, where can people go to find proper, reliable resources where they know that they're actually not being, I don't know, mucked around?
Yeah, so in banks, or where you can find an ethical KiwiSaver option, you can find those on our website, which is 350.org.nz. So we've assessed banks and KiwiSavers on their investments in lending to fossil fuels, and as well as their sustainability and climate policies. You can also find out more about the global divestment movement on gofossilfree.org, and generally anything published by Market Forces is also really awesome.
Wicked. Thank you, Erica. Do you want to add anything else?
Yeah, I really reiterate what I said before about not taking on climate change as an individual. I think that's the thing that's kept me and a lot of other people in this movement going, is the friendships and the fun things that you don't get if you're just acting on climate change by yourself.
That was The Green Desk on 95 BFM. Tihe Modi Ora. There was